Good morning.
Morning.
Happy celebration of Independence Day. Not Independence Day, but it's close enough. Now, traditionally, we would have talked about some of these things and celebrated this a little bit more last week, but as the fireworks are still ringing in my ears, and as thoughts of red, white, and blue, and picnics, and all of those things are still in our hearts, thought it was appropriate to speak about the blessing that we have about being Americans. But not only that, the biblical foundations and the blessings of God that allows us to have what we have today. So pray with me. Lord, I pray that you are honored this day. I pray that you continue to be the foundation of our nation, even though some would disagree. We know that in the eyes of the founding fathers, that it takes a moral and religious people in order to be the foundation of this country. So may we strengthen our resolve. May we strengthen our gratitude to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you heard that scripture today, it is very clear and very strong. And I want you to keep in mind that Paul was writing to a church, a group of Christians, who were not necessarily favored in underneath the governments where they were. They were more shadow organizations. When they were brought out and looked at, sometimes there was controversy between the government and the faith. Now keep in mind that for these believers, it is not that their political beliefs separated them from the government. When it comes to their spiritual beliefs, it is something that, if it's something that the government wants you to do that is contradictory to Scripture, Scripture specifically says, are we supposed to do what God wants or what humanity wants? So there is a line whereby we can dissent, but it also says, as in this Scripture, obey the authorities that are put over you. They are ordained for you. If you haven't done any world travel, I recommend that you try. You can go to some countries that will make you more appreciative of the blessings that we have here. And I can tell you there, I've been to 12 different countries, extensively traveling in those countries. And there are good people there. There are Christians there. There are churches there. But their governments are not permeated with the founding principles that our nation has, that are out of Scripture. In some countries, to get anything done, you have to pay a bribe to someone. You may get a situation where there are supplies that you have ordered and paid for, and when they come to you, there's half of them there, because the people in charge of transporting it, importing it, etc., all take a cut. We had the experience in India where we were just going into the visa office to get an extension on our visa. And the man kept saying, well, don't you want to, you know, you need to make me happy. You know, and he's like, oh, well, you want a joke? Is that what you, well, I can tell you a joke. And he was like, well, you know, you're from America, and maybe you have something that I could give to my, you know, for the sake of my children. He said, oh, well, we have this tin Hershey box here. You can give that to your kids. He said, no. And finally, we went, oh, a bride. You want a bride? And he went, oh, no, get out. But keep in mind, the people of that country live under that. Now, in the defense of some of these countries, too, there are policemen that do not get paid enough for their families even to survive, and it is part of the economy for them to receive a bribe. But we have the privilege of seeing that in the light of scriptural directives. There are places where aid goes from Western countries because people are starving, and it sits in the warehouses of the warlords. And from that point on, the people are starving not because of lack of generosity from the United States and other countries, but because of the lack of biblical morals and understanding. what God has asked leaders to do. This was written by John Adams. Keep in mind that as he's writing this, the founders of our nation looked at other governments, saw their benefits and saw their downfalls, and tried to find the most perfect government. It is never perfect, and there are downfalls all the time to any human institution, and that includes the church. But God knew that when he designed it, didn't he? The looking in and not just seeing the forms of government, but examining the human heart, both in relationship to God and our tendency toward evil, wrote this: "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people." Why? Because moral and religious people are perfect? No. But because we have an awareness of the perfect. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So without a moral and religious people, even democracy is no good. Morality and virtue, he wrote this as well, morality and virtue are the foundation of our republic, necessary for a society to be free. Now, as I look at Scripture, and as you read some of the writings, you can see why it is necessary. We have this phrase, we find it self-evident that there are rights that are given to people. We find that we are all equal as created human beings. All of these echo things in Scripture. So, for instance, created in his image. That is a huge foundation for us. Because without respect of each other, you only have despots. If a leader does not care about his or her people, and the people don't care about other people, you get anarchy. Because all you are governed by is what you yourself want and desire. We've been taught in the last 20 years, and it's been taught in schools, that there is no absolute truth. That truth is relative. What that means is, what my relative thinks is right is just as valid as what I think is right. Well, if that is true, what do you do with a Satanist that wants to believe, that believes that human sacrifice is okay? Is there a moral truth that is absolute, that rules over it? There has to be. And we know that it is the truth that is presented by Scripture. But the one thing that being created in the image of God, that affects the way that we live, is to understand what it means by image of God. Does that mean that when we get to heaven, God is going to look like us? Now, some people live their lives to think that God looks like me, and God thinks like me, and God wants what I want. That doesn't mean that at all. It is not a visual thing. To be created in the image of God, first off, means that we have an eternal soul in us. He has not just breathed life into us for this time that we walk this earth. But that eternal soul is designed specifically for relationship with Him. And He has also given us, as humankind, authority over what happens on this earth. Now, we gave some, if not all, of that authority to the tempter. Because He also gave us what is called, in theological terms, free moral agency. Now, that's a big word, but it just means this. We get to choose. It not only means we get to choose our leaders, but it also we get to choose whether we will make Him our God or not. I didn't get to choose my mom. but I did choose her as my mom. You see, there comes a point where it stops being an obligatory relationship, but becomes just simply a relationship out of choice and out of love. This all fits under the doctrine. There's a Latin word called imago Dei, image of God in Latin, that every human being is made in the image of God. Not physical, but that a touch of the Spirit and the authority of God rests in them. The reason I bring this up is, if we have no value for the other person sitting beside us, we can do to them whatever we want. If we don't have value for the person sitting across from us at the table, there is no reason for us to give sacrificially for them. Love my neighbor as I love myself. There are two pitfalls there. If you love yourself greatly, you're never going to love your neighbor without the image of God being in you and in them. Or if you don't love the image of God in yourself, you hate yourself and you will hate everybody else. You can't love everybody else unless you love the image of God that's in you. Because the image of God, because God Himself loves them. You see the importance of that, the image of God being in all of us? Now, our founding documents say that we are all created equal. When it says that, it is talking about the image of God, not the physical form. I have seen many children that do not have the physical abilities of other children, who do not have the mental capacities of other children. Children do not come out of the womb equally. But what the Founding Fathers had in mind is we all have life given to us by God. Therefore, we have worth and value. And in that worth and value, we are all equal. Thank you, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So, we have that biblical foundation. The human dignity for all. Genesis 1, 26, 27 says this. Amazing pivotal part for humanity. And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. And the application of that is that at the foundation of democracy, every person in democracy who is under this system, it is acknowledged they have an inherent worth and value. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That is not relative truth. Talked about free moral agency. Human dignity comes from creation. Free moral agency was given in the garden. Being able to choose was given in the garden. Don't you ever wish, when you see all the wars and all the evil in the world and all the things going wrong, that God just never would have said, don't eat of that tree? That you could have said, just go ahead and eat of whatever you want. By the way, some people argue what kind of fruit it was. It doesn't matter what kind of fruit it was. God could have picked any tree. But the moment that he said, don't eat of that, it became the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because he had the choice to do it or not. He could have created the garden, so there was no tree of garden of good and evil. He could have, just when Adam and Eve sinned, just say, all right, that's it, I'm starting over. They're done, let's get two more. But you know, any of those would not have communicated the Spirit of God, His heart. He created us to be in relationship, not in servitude, because we had no choice. That's a slave. But the Bible tells us that we were created to be sons and daughters of God. Now, we broke that covenant, and that's why it says that in Christ we become the children of God. In Christ we become all that we are supposed to be, finally, once and for all. Galatians 5:13 says that we, says this, for you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. It sets this dichotomy. We do have the freedom and we still have choice today. Are we going to serve our purposes or are we going to serve God's purposes? Because when we serve God's purposes, we could be free to do something else. And it wouldn't even necessarily be sin. But is it serving ourselves or serving God? As fallen beings, we just naturally choose the flesh. The fleshly desires. And it's going to be that way until Jesus comes back. Jesus has already sanctified our spirits, but our bodies follow so slowly. We haven't been remade new in our flesh. So when he comes back, we're changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, but until that day comes, we will struggle with temptation, we will struggle with addictions, we will struggle with our attitudes, our anger, but it is, we now have the Spirit in us to allow us to start to overcome that. I had someone recently that was talking about the fear of God. You know, should I be fearful of God? And I did some more questioning and I said, so are you afraid of punishment or are you afraid of breaking relationship? And that's ultimately what it came down to. She knew that when she gave in to her fleshly desires, that it broke her relationship with God. And it got me thinking, and I even posted this online recently, and it said, fear, biblical fear of God is not just being afraid of the punishment that comes after disobedience. Okay? That's just fear of the punishment due to justice. Right? Fear of God, biblical fear of God, means that you are in such relationship with God that you hold God in such esteem, that you have such reverence, that you value your relationship so much that it gives you the ammunition to override your tendency for the flesh. Fear of God pushes us in a positive direction, not drives us into some malaise just because we've sinned. See the difference? I can be fearful and retreat and cry and forget about other people. I'm worried about myself. And, you know, I don't think God is happy with me, which may be true, but the fear of God will help us remedy that so that next time as we walk, we are able to say, I value you more than that comfort that I was seeking back there. Am I communicating okay? You got it? All right. We have freedom of conscience to worship. There are believers meeting today in this world that if they got caught meeting in a Christian service, singing a Christian hymn, would be taken outside, if they're not already outside, would be taken somewhere, at least imprisoned, maybe lose their job, possibly get beaten, possibly shot. According to North Koreans, there is one Savior, and it's not Jesus. And I know that through my life I've stood up and I said, well, if that day comes, I will stand strong. But wait a minute, they're going after your family too. That's happening today. Modern organizations that track things and have done the history research say that today there are more Christians being killed for their faith than ever in history. Ever. But because of the founding fathers, we have enshrined in our Constitution and the amendments, the ability to come together without fear to worship. That doesn't mean that we won't get ridiculed, okay? It doesn't mean that everybody will agree or will like you or say that you're right. It doesn't say that. But we have the freedom to gather together. We are blessed. And finally, we have community and mutual responsibility. Greatest commandment is this. What? To love the Lord your God. And there are words that go with that to make sure it's with all your being. Okay? Including your mind. But then the second one is right next to it. What? Love your neighbor as yourself. Why is that in there? Because it's in God's heart. And quite frankly, we are the strongest as a nation when we serve our neighbor. I don't know any other country, and I haven't been to them all, but I know a lot of them. I don't know any other country where when there is a disaster in one part of the country, that believers or even just citizens in one part pack up to go help them. And we as a nation even do it for other countries. When there is a flood in Zimbabwe, they're going to get some American aid. How many of you, when there's been a disaster here, got aid from Zimbabwe? But we've been blessed enough that we have the resources and the people here to help. But that founding principle, to love your neighbor as yourself, keeps us going as a nation. Worship team, would you please come forward? As we celebrate the freedoms granted through our democratic system, we also have to recognize that freedom is a stewardship. We must take care of it. One of the reasons we have three branches of government is because they had seen governments where either the legislatures or the president or the judicial system governed by fiat. This is the way it is. We'll put everybody else in prison. I would like for some of the students that are protesting to do just a little more homework because they think that we are now in a fascist country, and I'm thinking, well, if we really were in a fascist country, you'd be in jail. And some of you are saying, well, some of them were arrested at some of the protests. The ones who broke the law by throwing things, assaulting, you know, etc. You can even be disrespectful to an authority. It's not wise, but you can be disrespectful to an authority in the United States of America. You can burn a flag. I don't like that. If I was governing, I'd outlaw them. But we don't let one person govern that way. When we can get, if you want to celebrate freedom, celebrate the freedom of your enemies. Then you know you love America and you love God.